Good evening and a warm welcome. It's a warm evening and a warm welcome to a beautiful evening. And today, guess what? It's National Mindfulness Day. Did you know that? No, so it's very appropriate we're having this talk here this evening. And before we begin, I'd like to welcome our speaker, Charlie Hogg, to the stage, please. Thank you. So, Charlie is an old friend, a colleague, but also Charlie's come from the other side of the world. He is the director for the Brahmakumaris in Australia. He's the chairman of their board of directors and national coordinator of activities in Australia. And probably over, 42 years on a spiritual journey, Charlie? 44 years. You've got an experienced meditator and a veteran in spirituality sitting in front of you, and very much Charlie's toured a lot of Asia, the Asia Pacific, supporting our centers and activities there, and has amassed an incredible amount of experience in practical spirituality, integrating spirituality into daily life across a multitude of cultural contexts. They're very, very experienced. You know, one of the things that I know Charlie often stays true to is that on the one side, we develop many talents and intellectual skills and abilities to try and cope with the external world, but what about internally when we get rejected in relationships or we feel angry or there's the anxious mind? And so spiritual power is something that is integral to be able to manage and transform our internal world. And that's the topic Charlie's going to be talking about, finding your spiritual power. And I can't think of a better person on this topic than him. So tonight we're going to have 15 minutes of a little talk, and then a little bit of time for an experience, and then after that, a question-answer session. And that format will be repeated again. So it'll be twice. Talk, meditation, Q&A. Talk, meditation, Q&A. And the reason for this is to just help, bring a little bit more creativity in our thinking as we listen to spiritual ideas. Because sometimes we can listen, but if we don't actually generate that experience, assimilation doesn't happen. So as Charlie shares, if you do have any questions, just keep them on the back burner, because there will be a space after the meditation for an interaction to take things deeper as well for yourselves. Is that okay? Okay, so enjoy. Thank you.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. It's a delight to be here tonight. And thank you, Gopi, for your lovely introduction. I wonder if you were asked what you need most in life, how would you respond? Over many years, I've asked various individuals and even groups, what do you need? And I would say the most common answer I have received is inner strength, spiritual power. And when I ask them to unravel that a little bit, I find today that most people feel, I know I want to be more peaceful, but where do I get the strength? I know I want to deal with my negativity, but where do I get that internal power or strength? I know I want to let go an anxious mind, a sort of chronically worried mind, but where do I really harness that strength? And I think that spirituality is really the journey to this inner power. But as you all know, power is a very loaded word today. Would you agree? The connotations that come to mind are, you know, force, domination, control, suppression, and a lot more. I often call that hard power. But what we're talking about tonight is soft power or spiritual power, which is this wonderful power of love, the power of humility, the power to offer compassion, the power to forgive. And I would say this power does not influence by force, but influences by virtue. And this is the power that uplifts and transforms. And one of the things I personally really love about a spiritual journey is that on this journey, you go deeper and deeper into your internal world. And to do or access that world, I love to sometimes pose some questions to myself. And one question I've often asked myself is, who is powerful in my life? Who is powerful in my life? Is it other people and their opinions? I think all of us in this room know how powerful that can be. Is it my emotions? We all know in a millisecond, my mind can be flooded with an emotion and my mood changes instantly. Or is it the recycling of the past? You know how the mind recycles the past and I start to think, you know, how I've been treated, what has happened to me. Or maybe it's situations, this chronic analysis of situations. Or is it my sense of self-value, my inner spiritual power? Because my experience is that if we don't create some internal power, every so often my mind goes into an absolute spin. A little thing happens, it triggers, and I just go into overdrive. And it's like all my inner strength goes. The second question is, what fills me with power and what drains me of power? And sometimes I think it's really interesting to do that little internal audit, just to observe when you feel good, what sort of thoughts have fed that? When you're not feeling good, what sort of thoughts have fed that? Have you ever had the experience that you can work for like 18 hours a day when you're happy and you don't feel tired? As soon as you feel tired, what happens? Sorry, as soon as you feel unhappy or upset, what happens? You feel tired. And my observation is that the thoughts that fill me with power are the thoughts of love, compassion, forgiveness, these sorts of thoughts. The thoughts that drain me of power. There's two branches, powerful branches that seem to sap the energy from the soul. One is that negative thinking, the anger, the fear thoughts, and the story of waste. And there's a deep relationship between negativity and waste and my inner power. The more negativity and waste, the less power I have internally. And where does this whole game of empowerment and disempowerment happen? The venue for life is my mind. My whole life happens in my mind. My thoughts, my feelings, my attitudes, my reactions, my memories, my relationships, the whole story is just playing out in the venue of my mind. And this is where I sometimes feel strong, and this is where I sometimes feel incredibly weak. And the image I love for my mind for the last few years is that my mind is like a sacred space. And the image I have is it's like a crystal clear bowl of still water. In my original state, the mind is so still, so calm, so clear, so pure. But there are gateways into my mind. You know those gateways? My ears. I hear some comments. I hear some criticism. I let it in here and it starts to drive my mind. I think. The mind goes into overdrive. Power goes. I see some bad behavior. I see some injustice. Think, and all my power drains out once again. And so I begin to see that I'm constantly just reacting to life. It's like the external world is controlling my inner world, my internal world. Why is meditation the most powerful tool to start to take back that sense of self-authority? Because what am I doing? I'm sitting down, and rather than reacting to life, reacting to news, stories, behaviors, I'm beginning to create the thoughts I want. And gently, I take back the authority of my mind by creating the thoughts I want, which give way to the feelings I want. Of course, it's a process, but it's the beginning of regaining my spiritual power. And for me, there's three internal resources I draw power from. Firstly, is like my intellectual power. Very necessary thing in life to understand the world around me, you know, to pass an exam, make money. But if I feel fearful, if I feel anxious, if I feel depressed, does this power help? Does my intelligence help? I don't think that much. The second is like emotional power, which is the power to build rich, loving relationships in life. How necessary is that? It's an essential ingredient to a quality life. But once again, I might know how to build them, but if there is conflict or differences, I really don't know how to manage. And once again, it's like the drain on the inner world begins to happen. The third is spiritual power. And to me, if emotional power is the wisdom to build rich, loving, sustainable relationships with others, I would say spiritual power is the wisdom to build a rich, stable, loving relationship with me. The first relationship in life is with me. And this is really the seed where spiritual power begins to grow. Because if that relationship is dysfunctional, if that relationship is not healthy, it pollutes each and every part of my life. Not just how I feel, it even affects my health and, of course, my relationships with others as well. What is the greatest influence on my thoughts? If my world is my mind, my thoughts and feelings, what is the greatest influence? I would say my sense of identity. And to me, the first step on the journey of regaining my spiritual power is to know who I am. I often feel that should be the first lesson in kindergarten, don't you? And when I reflect on this, I see three personalities inside. I would say two of these personalities chronically disempower and weaken me. But one of these personalities begins to rebuild my sense of inner strength, resilience, and well-being. The first personality I call the eye of arrogance or the eye of superiority. And this personality takes its whole sense of self from my temporary body. I see myself as a whole set of labels: gender, culture, religion, education, hundreds of labels, but they are all temporary. And when this I is ruling in my inner world, I have a whole thinking, feeling, behavioral structure. I think, I compare with others, and I think, I am better. I know more. I am right. And when it comes into my feelings, when the eye of arrogance is ruling, that's when I feel so easily insulted, disrespected, not valued, excluded, sensitive. And when this begins to play out in my life, I feel totally disempowered. My feeling these days is whenever I'm feeling hurt, sensitive, etc., know I'm being deceived by the wrong eye. I'm under the influence of the wrong eye. And when I do, these thoughts, this overthinking will just make me feel weak and vulnerable. So the first personality is taken from my temporary physical identity. It's my ego, the ego of superiority. But it's a front for the second personality. And hiding behind that confident me is that sort of much more vulnerable me. And this one I call the eye of lack of self-respect, the eye of inferiority. This also takes its whole sense of self from my temporary bodily identity. And this eye also has a whole thinking, feeling, behavioral structure inside. I compare with others, and I think others are better, others know more. Others don't love me, others don't respect me, others don't value me. And when this eye seeps into my emotions and my feelings, that's when I feel hopeless, sometimes unworthy, inferior, inadequate, depressed. In psychology, depression is like a sadness that my dream in life to be loved and valued hasn't happened. But in spirituality, depression is like a mourning for the loss of my true identity. So when this eye is ruling my inner system, once again, a huge drain on my sense of self-value and my sense of inner power. And the third eye is the original eye. This is the permanent self. And when I start to sow the seeds of this eye in the sacred space of my mind, instantly I'm starting the journey, just by the first step of rebuilding a sense of spiritual power based on truth. That I am a soul. The soul is a wonder. The soul is just a point. In mathematics, they define a point. It exists, but it has no length, breadth, or width. I am so subtle. I sit in the front of the brain, in the center of the forehead. I've lived before this body, I will live after this body. So what I'm beginning to do is sort of rebuild a sense of who I am and take back this internal power. My own experience is that the more I just don't practice, but I try to feel this, I start to come home to this incredibly sweet place inside, where I feel so easy about myself. I take the pressure off myself to look good, to impress others, to live up to some sort of self-created image, and I start to access a quality of peace. The power of peace is essential for a quality life. And my view is, many people feel, what is the aim of meditation? Most will say the aim of meditation is peace. But I would say that's the result. The aim of meditation is to know and experience who I am, and the automatic byproduct that is produced is this incredible fragrance which enters my inner being and seeps to all corners of my consciousness. Gently, gently, I start to feel that quality of peace. So first, I need to know who I am. Secondly, I need to experience who I am. My own experience is, the first step is to know. The second step is to believe. My reading tells me 80% of people in this country believe there's something more than a physical body. But the next 998 steps are educating myself how to transform this knowing and believing into feeling and experiencing. This is meditation, converting the theory into an experience. But each step I take is a little step of inner power. So what I'd like to do is invite you just to sit for a few moments of meditation. If I can suggest we put down bags and phones and things. And just in these few minutes, I will offer a few thoughts. And if I can suggest to really try to be present with these thoughts, we all know the nature of the fickle mind, but just relax and try to keep a gentle focus to the thoughts that are suggested. Let me sit and instantly feel relaxed, just mentally let go the tightness and allow yourself to feel easy. The whole of my life happens in the sacred space of my mind. The mind is like a thought factory, constantly creating. This is its natural work. But what is the greatest influence on my thoughts? It's my sense of identity. It's my sense of who I am. And when I create thoughts of my temporary self, see myself as just the temporary body with all the labels. It produces the two children of ego and lack of self-respect that seem to drain the power and joy from within. But now, I'm going to create a new quality of thought. A thought stream based on the eternal self, the permanent self. Just visualize yourself as a minute spark of life energy residing in the front of your brain and the center of the forehead. Just hold this image. Just hold this image of the eternal self. And begin to reflect deeply that I always exist. I can never die. And when I extract the power from the truth of who I am, my mind enters a sweet silence. Just allow yourself to feel the mind cooling, calming. Just just let it cool even more. This inner peace is my natural state. It's a huge power in life. Holding these feelings of peace in my mind, in my sacred space, I imagine some comments from others that normally I allow to penetrate my mind, create upheaval. But now, my pledge to myself is to retain my inner peace, to not absorb through the sense organs, and allow the external world to rule my inner world. Keep creating thoughts of self-awareness, and as I do, I gently, with love and wisdom, take back the authority of my mind. I am. Heard at the beginning, we'll just have a few moments for some questions. If anyone would like to ask something, there's a few microphones hovering around. I often think that it's not a good time to ask for questions straight after meditation. Is that true?
A Hello. Yeah, you said something about the intellect, and my understanding of the intellect is I have a choice in the way I think, and I can see myself going into negative thinking, feeling inferior, feeling superior, all those things you mentioned, all those characteristics I share, as I'm sure many others do. And my understanding, my practice is when they come in through the gateways of my senses, or they can be just emotions that well up in my body from stuff that's happened in the past that triggers something just wells up inside, it may come from outside. My understanding is that, or my practice is the intellect, I need to use my intellect to change that negative thinking. Could you say something about that?
Yes, sure. You know, the soul, we use the word soul for the permanent self. And as I think most of you have been here before, and as I was describing, the soul is this extraordinary point source of consciousness which resides in the front of the brain. But it's actually an overname for the three aspects of consciousness. The mind, and I see the mind like a screen, and all the data from the senses, what you hear, what you see, is thrown up on that screen. There's the intellect assessing all that information. It's like the intellect is sitting in the chair, assessing the information as to how to respond. Just like as I'm speaking, a part of you is saying, yes, I agree with that, no, I don't agree with that. That's the intellect assessing. And then the intellect makes a decision, and you act. And every single action is scored on the subconscious. And the incredible thing about the human soul is that I carry a perfect database of my past. If I do an action more than 20 times, it becomes a habit. And so it's the intellect that first holds truth. And it's the intellect which will first begin to create thoughts of the permanent self. And as it does, it starts to influence the mind. But sometimes the habitual patterns, emotional patterns, mental patterns, scored in my subconscious also influence my intellect. And this is why the first step of meditation is knowledge. Put new knowledge in the intellect, and the intellect starts to bring change in the consciousness. So the intellect starts to create thoughts, who am I? And that starts to withdraw peace in my mind. So very much the intellect, often under the influence of my habits in my subconscious, can be chronically negative because the seed of my identity has been false. I believe the reason there's so much stress today, the basis of stress is falsehood. If I base my life on the falsehood that I'm a temporary body, all the seeds in my thinking, my intellect, create a false state of mind. So it's the intellect that starts to the whole process of change. And the more the intellect holds those positive thoughts of who I am, it initiates begins the transformation and perhaps the accumulation of inner strength.
If emotional power, if you feel that your emotional power exceeds your spiritual power, in that it's very easy for you to form good relationships, does it mean you're using those relationships as a prop for your weakness in your spiritual power? Because it seems to be easy for some of us to gravitate towards others and love others rather than go towards the self and love the self. We tend to leave the self to the end, don't we?
We absolutely do. I think the nature of life today is we feel so empty. We feel so empty, and the natural nature is to want to fill that emptiness. So I often think the mind is like a vacuum cleaner, you know. You give me love. You give me respect. You give me cooperation. You insult me. You criticize me. You know, I just take absolutely everything on board. I mean, I just find it so incredible that we live in a world where we have so much, we're so educated, if I can say, about the world outside, but we are so uneducated, really, about who we are. And we are just a victim of our own patterns, in a way. And therefore, we feel so vulnerable, we become very dependent on certain people. So their moods and everything just totally control how I feel. And actually, the more you step back into your power, then I think you're able to love and respect others a lot more too, and it stabilizes relationships as well. Mm.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
Please, maybe my question is not in the same subject, but as based on prevention. What do you think if we try to teach children from the beginning in family or in the society by three components? First, love the others. Second, satisfaction, and third, destiny, to be able to solve or to accept the difficulties in their life. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think so many of us want to help the people we love, and there's two types of help, I feel. One is like emotional support, and the other is like spiritual support. And you know how family members, friends are struggling? So many people are struggling today. So many people, if not the majority. And so we encourage them, we give them support, we give them love. And they go high. And then tomorrow they come back and they've lost it again. And you have to go through the whole thing. You know, spiritual support in a way is two things. Firstly, holding the value of that person in your attitude, having faith. It's not even a verbal thing, you just hold their value. I saw the woman who ran this organization for 38 years, Daddy Prakashmi, she held the value of others in her attitude, and her company was so uplifting. But the main thing is for me to practice myself. Because I'm starting to see in my own life that when your mind is fragrant, when your mind is creating that quality of thought, it sustains yourself, it will sustain the atmosphere in an organization or family, and it will sustain those around you automatically. It's natural we want to help others, but actually the way to do it is to help myself first. The more I model what I really feel I would like to see, then that's how people learn. People learn by your example. That's really the most powerful form of learning. So thanks everyone. In our little experiment tonight, I'm going to share a little bit again for a few minutes, and then we'll have more meditation and more time for questions. First step to spiritual power is to know who I am. The second step is to convert that into an experience, to experience who I am. In my own life experience, the third step is the power of love. And my self-observation, because that's the spiritual journey, you learn by observing what happens inside. My self-observation is when the heart is full of love, I feel so easy about myself, so relaxed, so self-accepting, resilient, strong, and my attitude to others is much more compassionate and understanding. But when the heart lacks love, the mind can never rest. The agitated mind, something is missing. You know that looking, searching, seeking, something is missing. The first need of the human spirit is love. The first desire is love. And I really feel when that's not really quenched, when I really don't taste a quality of love in my life, then a million desires, when that first desire isn't satisfied, so many other desires emerge. The desire for control, the desire for power, the desire to be recognized, the desire for material things. And these desires just sap me once again of my inner strength. I sometimes think the subtext of life is this search for true love. And the most natural thing all of us do, we invest our heart in relationships. We give everything. If you, all of us sitting here, if you reflect how much you've given to your family and others in your life. You've given so much. But there's a huge human dilemma that no relationship is permanent. Whether it's time, whether it's change, whether it's conflict, whether it's death, the object of my love will go. And this has sort of created so much insecurity inside of us. And for me, there's three sources of love: from myself, from God, and from my family and friends. For most of us, as we've been talking, there's not much love coming from me for me. In fact, often I give myself a bit of a beating. For God, yes, people have faith in God, some people, but I'm not really sure we really feel loved and nurtured and really cared for, a belonging. So my one source of love is my family and friends. If there is a loss, if there is a conflict, it's like my whole life goes into upheaval. You know, what is spiritual power? The first step of spiritual power is to develop a loving relationship with myself as a soul. But the second step is to explore a loving relationship with God or the Supreme Soul. And for me, in my sort of personal journey, just as I am a soul, this is my experience when I meditate, but I'm a soul that performs actions and I reap the fruit. Sometimes it empowers me, sometimes it disempowers me. But God is also a soul like me. And just as I'm eternal, non-physical, immortal energy, the soul is just this point. God is the same. But God is a soul that never performs action and retains power always, always retains that power. A soul that is never influenced, never tainted, and remains clean and in a sense a source of what my mind is looking for, that peace, that love, and that inner joy. And this is just not a belief or an intellectual concept. I'm actually communicating with a living, pulsating, conscious being. It's a real living relationship. The mind has energy. I knew a woman once who lived in Germany, and she did an experiment on telepathy. And she and a friend, they wrote down a little notebook whenever they thought of each other. And they did it over about 3 months. And when they shared their notes, around 60 to 70% were accurate. You know, your thoughts have an energy, they're a message. Even while you're sitting here as I'm speaking tonight, people are popping into your mind. And we just take it for granted, I've had the thought, but actually you've received thought messages. So you're actually using that same principle to connect with the Supreme Soul. And I often think of it as like the Supreme Soul or God, this lover of the soul, if I can say, is on the FM wavelength. When I forget who I am and I'm totally engrossed in my temporary identity with the children of ego and of self-respect. I'm on the AM wavelength. I can have faith in a higher power, but I can't connect and I can't draw the inner strength that I really want to. But when I go up to the FM wavelength, the more I practice who I am, it's almost like I enter that relationship, I enter that world, and that relationship becomes something real. And yet, in my experience these days, when you talk about meditation, even for many of us, it seems like too hard work. You know, I want to meditate, but it just seems hard work. And this is why I feel the word I prefer today is remembrance. Why? Because the most natural function of human consciousness is to remember. At every millisecond, you are remembering what you have to do, what you just did, what someone said. It's a constant function of consciousness. And when I remember, three things are happening. I plug into a thought. As soon as I plug in, that millisecond, I'm influenced. If I remember a person, a situation, a past memory, the second I plug my intellect, I connect. Secondly, I'm influenced. And thirdly, it's like I download the energy into the sacred space of my mind. And so if you're sitting here and you're remembering a family member or a friend that you really have a loving relationship with, the instant you touch that thought, you feel good inside, you feel warm, and your mind, the sacred space of your mind, feels positive and powerful. But if you remember, if you plug in your mind, your intellect, to a relationship that's not working, a relationship of conflict, a relationship that's difficult, the second you touch your influence and you download anxiety, discomfort, unhappiness into the sacred space of your mind. So what are we doing throughout the day? This subtle thread of your intellect is plugging in, sometimes to the past, I feel disempowered, sometimes to the future, the worry, I feel disempowered, to a person that I'm not really sure about, disempowered. Whatever I'm plugging into is sort of draining energy out of me. And really the logic of remembrance is to remember that source that is constant in all the energies my mind needs, is constant in love, is constant in peace, and constant in inner power. And literally, when I'm meditating, in a way, I'm turning my remembrance from all the numerous things I can plug my intellect into and be influenced. I'm turning it to God. And I'm remembering the form of God as light. I'm remembering the qualities of God. And I'm reestablishing a relationship, the one relationship that's permanent. My own experience is, it's almost automatic. The more you remember, the more you feel empowered. The more you go and plug into the old stories, you feel disempowered. And this is why, in a sense, meditation is starting to observe what I remember. And my feeling is, if I'm not happy, if I'm not feeling good inside, observe, what am I remembering? What am I plugging my thinking into? And just understanding this and just experimenting with plugging into this divine source, just observe how you feel inside. Because when I start to know who I am, secondly, experience who I am, connect with the Supreme Soul, I've laid a platform for rebuilding my sense of spiritual power. But there's one last little thing that I feel is essential. And that is to have benevolent feelings for others. I think so much of the spiritual power, the joy and beauty of life, is absolutely destroyed by plugging my head into the defects of other people, the mistakes of other people, the past of other people, all the stories that go around in my head. It's almost like I'm plugging myself into a constant source of unhappiness. And wisdom really says that when I plug myself into the value of other people, I can still see the other story, but I make a decision not to absorb it into my feelings. It's a huge source of inner power. And a few years ago, I just made a decision in my life, that's what I'm going to do. Of course, you have to practice, because the habit of the ego is to constantly plug into those old stories and those old behaviors. But the more I practice, the stronger I feel. And there's a secret. When you see good in people, you feel good about who you are. When you're chronically seeing what's wrong, deep down, you don't feel so comfortable about who you are. And so I'm going to invite us all again for a few minutes of meditation. And once again, if you don't mind putting down things, and just for a few minutes once again, I will offer a few thoughts. Let me reemerge the awareness of my permanent self. And just gently move into that sweet place of self-knowledge, of I, the peaceful soul. The being that has no label, and my natural state is to experience the power of inner peace. When I establish this state of self-awareness or soul consciousness, I look through the eye of my mind and I see the light of God. Just see a beautiful, radiant jewel of light. Just hold this image in your mind. This beautiful image radiating the light of love, the light of peace, the light of inner power. As I begin to remember this one relationship that's permanent, the relationship that spans life and death, I feel influenced by the beauty of the Supreme. And it's almost like I live stream the energy of the Divine into the sacred space of my mind. Feel this love, a purity of love, enter the core of your being. And just feel it healing and soothing and caressing. Just relax. and even relax more. This pure love has a huge power to transform you. It is only a thought away. And the more I feel this love, observe how you feel about yourself. The thoughts about the self become positive. And my self-respect begins to grow. Just keep holding this image of the divine in your mind. The more the quality of this love fills my mind, I feel strong. I have the power to face. I have the power to let go what is not necessary, even to forgive and move on. A natural resilience begins to emerge. We live in a world where over 7 billion brothers and sisters are struggling with the challenges of life and pumping out thought energy of anxiety and fear. If I care for my mind by practicing who I am and who I belong to, I can not only protect myself, but I spread a new energy. My face, my vibrations, uplift the spirit of others. I step back into my spiritual power. And I take it with me into each part of my life. All I need to do is remember who I am and remember the lover of the soul. Again, we have a little bit of time for some questions. Would anyone like to ask something? This is a lady here.
Hello. I'm just very early on when you mentioned that our spiritual power is decluttered because we react to different things. But we live in a very fast digital age.
I'm so sorry, I can't hear. I'm very sorry.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I'm just referring to the earlier you mentioned that our power, inner power is depleted because we react to different things in life. What I mean to say, we live in a digital age. We want everything fast. We meet different people, you know, be different temper and thing.
I'm really sorry, I'm not grabbing the question. I'm so sorry. The digital age.
So what I'm asking you, when our power decreases, how can you stop that in advance? Because we are human beings, we are bound to react to different situations. We though we understand where to preserve our power and meditation and thing, but I think to be realistic, it's a bit difficult to do so. Clear.
I'm really sorry. I did find it a little bit hard to understand, but can someone help things? Yeah.
Did you understand? But
around us, how do we protect our spiritual power when we have, you know, images flickering and it's very fast?
Thank you. I feel the speed of life has a purpose, and I think personally that a lot of us feel the world is driving my mind. I think it might be the other way around. It's the overactive mind. And the speed, the noise, the busyness has a purpose, because it stops me from going really deep to see who I am really. It's a form of denial or avoidance. Because when we do stop all the gadgets and the stuff, and like the image of life today is this, I think. You know, isn't it? It's just... it's incredible. We're all into that. But when we stop, sometimes we go into a spiral of emptiness, you know. So just keep running, just keep busy, because it keeps me on the surface from going into dark places where I feel really uncomfortable. And sometimes, you know, when you start the spiritual journey, when you give your mind space, the mind will turn in on itself sometimes, and the negativity, because, you know, we haven't done anything for our mind. There's like a jungle of unfinished business inside our heads, a huge jungle. But if you persevere, you move through that jungle to a pristine point of stillness. And when you taste that feeling, a genuine feeling that with your own thoughts, your own understanding, you taste the feeling of being a soul, and the mind just cools down, that is really one of the greatest gifts. And that's why it's worth persevering. A lot of people begin to meditate, and because the mind rebels, they think, oh, I can't do this, it's too much. So they stop. But if you keep moving, you will educate yourself. You know, I think the world out there is a reflection of our world internally. And at some point, I really have to do something for me, because as I was saying in that little commentary, I feel, you know, just that image of 7 billion minds pumping out this overthinking and all the fears and worries. And if I'm not doing something for me, I absorb it. I absorb it. And that's where really spiritual power is, like taking back the authority of your mind, caring for your mind, feeding your mind with quality thoughts, and when negative ones come, developing some processes to understand why they come, and then making the effort through the power of my connection to maintain more quality thoughts. It is possible. It just needs practice. I hope that's what you were asking. Thank you.
Yeah, I've found from observation that we as human, as beings, higher beings, is far more powerful than the five sense human mind. And the five sense mind just cannot conceive the true power that we have. And my intention is to get to that higher state by letting go of all unwanted thoughts, feelings, attitudes, intentions or whatever that holds you back. And I find by doing this I'm getting more and more into this higher being. And it just takes practice, practice, practice. But I'm getting there. To get it.
I think that's brilliant because, you know, a lot of us feel a bit hopeless, really. We all know how complex our inner world is and we think, can this really happen? But just what you said shows it can. And really, why here, and I know most of you have been here before, the source, the link with the Supreme Soul gives an incredible amount of inner strength, willpower, determination to do exactly what you said, to sort of let go a lot of these chronic thinking and emotional patterns that have just held me down a lot of my life. And when I persevere and I give myself the chance regularly over a few months, I think I can see that I'm starting to step back into the person I want to be. Thank you, that was great. Yes.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank you briefly on how much you're giving tonight. Thank you. Also, I had this question in my mind. Recently, I read five or six books that talks about what we don't know of most of our mind, most of our brain do, and the subconscious. I wanted to know if you have an opinion on the subject, and also I wanted to tap into earlier you talked about the two ladies in Germany that were kind of telepathic, and earlier when you talked about the thoughts of people that come to your mind, I always wondered, is it me that I created the thinking of them, or is it them that thought, of me and I kind of felt it, or he arrived to me somewhere? So coming back, so I have these questions, if you have an opinion on the subject. And also,
can we just maybe try those first few? You know, light travels at like 186,000 miles a second or something like that. Please correct me. Thoughts are instant. That's the incredible nature of the thought. So someone on the other side of the world can have a thought of you and you can pick it up. So it's both ways, you know, you think of them, they pick up your thought message, and even vice versa. It's the natural state of the soul. And that's why I use that example, is that sometimes when we meditate on God, we think I'm just sort of thinking and believing in some concept, some intellectual concept. Actually, I'm directly connecting with a living soul, with a real being. It's a real genuine relationship, but this soul does not have a body like me. And that's why it's a unique way of approaching how to make this relationship absolutely real, because it's intrinsic to spiritual power. And I would say that the subconscious, all of us carry a database of our past in our subconscious. And this is a huge part of our disempowerment, actually. The habitual patterns to feel hopeless, to feel angry, to overreact. You know, when you wake up in the morning one day and you say, today I'm going to be really lovely and really sweet to everybody, and 3 minutes and 10 seconds, you know, you get upset with somebody and you think, who's in charge here? You know, like, what you want, it's like some other power is stronger than you. It is the power of the subconscious. And this is why when we meditate, there's three reasons. One is to really calm down in the present, learn the art of using my thoughts to take me into that place. Secondly, I want to resolve the story of the past, because at the moment it's like a shadow influencing everything happening in the present. And third, I take the power to do actions for a positive future. So in a way, I'm investing in a positive future. And the long-term practice of meditation is really to heal, resolve, clear the past story, which is often like that massive shadow over my present life. So, thanks so much, everybody. I think that Clark is the last say.
Once one has found their spiritual power.
Once one has found their spiritual
power. Does he need a microphone?
For the recording, yes. Once one has found their spiritual power, the question is simple. Then what?
The answer is simple. You're happy.
I can live with that. Even in this world of turmoil, and as the young lady said in the back there, with this digital world impacting on every gateway that we use to experience life through our senses, you know, it seems that, is it just happiness that overrides that, or can we have an influence on this environment ourselves, you know, using spiritual power? Is there more to just happiness?
You know, it's a beautiful question, because I feel that when you really tap into your inner power, which, as he said, is absolutely unlimited, the perfume of your mind does extraordinary magic in life. The perfume of your mind changes atmospheres, changes attitudes, uplifts spirits. We've seen it. So it's like, that's why you don't really have to think how to support people. You actually have to step back into your spiritual power, and automatically who you are makes a difference in this world. And I think people are craving, you know, when you meet somebody and you can just, I think all of us, we're very perceptive. When you meet somebody, you can feel the feelings that come from them. You feel safe, you feel comfortable, you feel loved, you feel belonging, you feel respected. Is there anything that's the greatest power, really, isn't it? That you, as who you are, is doing this incredible work of changing atmospheres and people. So, thank you so much, everybody. I think we would love to just finish with a few moments of meditation. Would that be okay again? But this time I'm just going to suggest, let's sit in silence. And if I can suggest to use the creativity of your own thinking to re-establish the experience of who you are as the eternal self, and practice the connection, the remembrance of that permanent relationship with God. Just for a few minutes, try to keep your mind focused, not what I'm going to do next and who I have to speak to and what messages have come in on my phone during this talk. Let's just really be present and create a powerful perfume. Let's all give the perfume of our minds to create a powerful atmosphere together. So just for a few minutes, let's have some silent meditation.
bring come back into word and sound just for a moment, just to really thank, heartfelt thanks for those deeply empowering words you've shared with all of us on all of our behalf and from the behalf of all those who are listening with us online. Thank you, Charlie, very much for being here and for sharing. What I personally took was a couple of lines. One was, take the pressure off yourself. That really struck my heart. And also just that last point about the natural fragrance that we all have deep inside us, and that there's a natural function of remembering that can bring us back to that and remembering the divine. So thanks, everyone.